You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, this is week number two in our series called Unmasking Deception, and we're taking the time, and of course, I believe the Lord laid this on my heart to spend some time studying this and ministering it, teaching it, so that, and you'll see in just a moment why it's so very important in the day and the time that we live in, but let's just jump right into the Word. I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of the previous couple of weeks, or previous last week was part one, go ahead and go back, download the notes, study those out, watch the service. And then if you want to download today's notes, they're already on the website and you can get them, study them out. Listen, don't take what I say just at face value. Take it because it's the Word of God and it's what God's Word says. But let's jump right into it this morning. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I want to spend a couple of moments just reviewing. But Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, the Lord, through Moses, told the children of Israel, right before Moses departed, and he said in verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And so again, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and therefore you choose. This is the implication of this verse, and that is you choose. Choose life and blessing that both you and your descendants may live. Now, what these verses are telling us is this, that the overall quality of our lives today is largely based on the decisions that you and I made in the course of our lives yesterday. Where you are today is a result of the decisions that you made yesterday. And that might be a tough truth to hear, but it's the truth nonetheless, and we have to accept that. Now, if you don't like where your life currently is, then believe God to be making some better decisions in the future that will open up the doorways for you. And so again, the quality of our lives depends on the choices that we make overall in our lives, the overall quality of our lives. And so you need to know this. God is always endeavoring to move in our lives to help us to make the right decisions for our lives that'll bring us to a place of life and blessing, as these verses say. And so He is endeavoring to bring you to a place where you will choose life every time. Now, you need to also understand this. There is an adversary, the devil, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And so he is trying to influence your life to bring you to a place where you're making decisions for the curse and death on the flip side of life and blessing. And so what he is endeavoring to do is to bring you to a place where you're making poor decisions and opening up your life to what he wants to introduce into your life. Now, the way that he can do this, the only way that he can do this is through the power of deception. And deception, as we said last week, is not one of the ways the devil can bring the effects of the curse in your life. It is the only way. Think with me for just a moment. Who in their right mind would choose death and the curse versus life and blessing with God? Who would make that choice unless they believed and thought it was the right decision? And that's what deception is all about. Deception is this. It is to convince someone that something is true and valid when in reality it is actually untrue and invalid. Let me say that again. It's so important. Deception is when someone is convinced that something is true and valid when it is actually untrue and invalid. And so that is the only way that the devil can bring those things into your life, is you have accepted those things as truth in some form or fashion, and you've opened the door and made the decision to choose them in your life. Now, here's the overarching truth of this particular series, and that is this: if Satan cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. And that's good news. So that means there's a way out. Hallelujah. And so again, if Satan cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. And so I want to continue this week, and I want to show you some scriptures that are very important. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples came to Jesus and they were asking him, "Lord, what are the signs of the last days, the end times?" And so Jesus gave them some things. But one of the first things that Jesus said is found in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 4th verse. Listen to this. He said, "This would be a sign of the end times." He said this, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" In other words, in the last days, we're going to have our guards up that no one is able to bring deception into our life. Listen to the Passion Translation of that same verse. "And Jesus answered, 'At that time, deception will run rampant.'" Boy, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at culture today and see that deception is running rampant. "So be aware," he said, "that you are not fooled." Now, I want to talk to you today about something that is so sinister. You know, Jesus said, "Let no man deceive you." And I want to say something to you. That includes yourself. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by yourself. In other words, don't deceive yourself. So how does self-deception come into our lives? Well, the scripture tells us in the New Testament, there's a couple of ways that deception can come in, that we can deceive ourselves. The first one is this: being lifted up in pride, to become prideful, to think that you are all it, and you know, you are just God's gift to the earth and so forth. That is pride. And I want to show you a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter in the 18th verse, Paul wrote and he said this: "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age or wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise." In other words, if someone really believes that they are wise in the things of this world, then they are self-deceived. They are deceived into thinking that wisdom, that street smarts, if you will, that worldly wisdom gives them some type of advantage and gives them something that sets them apart and above everybody else. But Paul went on to write, said, "Let him become a fool that he may become wise." In other words, let him demote himself so that true wisdom can come in, so that God's wisdom can come in. You know, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul wrote this. He said, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Now, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you and teach you that you need to know who you are in Christ, that you need to believe who you are and who Jesus made you to be, and that in Christ you are everything. But you need to understand something on the flip side of that. In yourself, you are nothing. I am nothing. You know, you have nothing. Without Him, you can't do anything, Jesus said. And so as this verse says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he really is, in actuality, nothing, he deceives himself." So somebody said, okay, well then what is the answer to that? Well, the simple answer is this: humble yourself. Bring yourself back down to reality, to where you really are, and understand that. Now, again, I'm a firm believer. I'm going to believe that I am everything that Christ made me to be. However, I know without Christ, I am nothing. I can do nothing and will never be anything but in Christ. And thank God we are in Christ. If we're born again, we can be everything. We can do everything He calls us to do, and we can become exactly who He wants us to be. So again, the remedy for this type of self-deception is to simply humble yourselves. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. He said this, 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Put it on like a garment. "For listen," and he's quoting the Old Testament when he says this, "God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so if you want grace operative in your life, then humble yourself. Now, I love the last part of this in verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Let me tell you something. There is nothing better than to have God exalt you when the time is right. There's nothing better than promotion that comes from the Lord versus promotion that you have fought for, that you've politicked for, that you have, maneuvered your way into. That will diminish. But when promotion comes from God, promotion is something that lasts forever when it comes from heaven. And it only comes in our lives when we choose to humble ourselves. Now, humbling yourself simply means, as I said a moment ago, that without Christ, I am nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing. And I depend on Him for everything. And so that's really what humbling yourself is all about. So again, number one, to be lifted up in pride is self-deception. To think that you are it is self-deception. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing to get involved with. Now, there's another type of self-deception that the Bible teaches us, and that is found in James chapter 1 and verse 22. And that is this. The verse says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So the second way we can deceive ourselves is by hearing, being a hearer of the word, but not being a doer of the word. So we deceive ourselves by not being a doer of the word. Now, let me say this. You're not responsible for the word that you've never heard. But that's why it's dangerous to be affiliated with a ministry like ours, because I'm going to teach you what the word says. And once you hear what the word says, you are responsible for it. You are responsible to do it. And the one of the quickest ways to deceive yourself is to hear the word of God, find out what the truth is, and then not apply it to yourself. So every time you and I hear a portion of scripture and receive revelation from it and fail to do it, we leave a door wide open to deception. And actually, Satan doesn't even have to be the agent of that deception, the facilitator of that deception. You have deceived yourself. And so that's a precarious position to find yourself in. Now, I want to give you four reasons why people are not doers of the word. Why don't we do the word that we hear and that we get revelation from? You know, you might hear a message and you think, wow, that is a great message. And the word was very, very powerful. But then it later on, it just slips away and it never gets applied to your life. And so in doing that, you are deceiving yourself. So why do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us, the Bible gives us these four reasons. Here's the first reason that a lot of people are not doers of the word, and that is this, because of the lust of the flesh. This does not necessarily have to have a sexual connotation to it, but it is rather any strong desire that is contrary to the word of God. Now listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He said, now these are the ones that are sown among thorns. So Jesus, just to give you a little context, Jesus had delivered a parable, ministered a parable to the people, and he talked about a sower that went out and scattered seed, and he gave different environments that the seed was scattered in, and then what the end result was of the seed as it was scattered in the different types of soil. And he made reference to one type of soil and that there were certain things that were able to come in and stop the seed from being able to produce. Listen to what he said, verse 18. Now these are the ones, the seeds sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. So here's the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires, the old King James says, the lust of other things or for other things entering in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So the cares of this world, you know, that's being worried about the everyday affairs of your life, being worried about how you're going to be able to make it and how you're going to be able to pay your bills. How are you going to be able to provide for your household? Worrying about those things, the cares. Now, you should be concerned with that in the sense of you need to be diligent about those things, but you shouldn't be worried and careful about those things because they will choke the word. And then he says, the deceitfulness of riches. Now, Jesus did not say riches were a bad thing, but you need to understand this. Riches come with a propensity, the potential to bring deception into someone's life. You know, I'm reminded in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the Lord told the children of Israel, he said, now when you get over in the promised land, and you're enjoying, and this is my paraphrasation, but you're enjoying what I have promised you. You're living in homes you didn't build. You're farming on land that you didn't prepare and cultivate, and you're reaping a harvest and enjoying life, so to speak. When that happens, don't forget it was the Lord that brought you to that place. It was the Lord that delivered that land to you. It was the Lord that fulfilled his promise in your lives. In other words, the scripture says in Deuteronomy 8:18, don't forget it was God who gives you the power to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant. So riches has a potential for you to begin to think thoughts like this. You know, you start to acquire a little bit, your bank account starts going up, you know, your home, your lifestyle gets a little better. And the temptation is to begin to think, you did that. I did that. You know, it's because of my smarts that I was able to get that promotion at work. It was because of this accomplishment that we were able to get that raise and so forth. No. Don't forget, it is God who provides those things and brings them into your lives. And so be mindful to always give him the credit, the glory, and the praise for those things. And don't allow yourselves to get caught up in that deceitfulness that riches can possibly bring into your life. Okay. So the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And then the last thing that can choke the word is the desire or the lust of other things entering in. It's when you have a strong desire for something that is contrary to the word of God. It could be, something sexual, but it could be something that, it is not the plan of God for you to have. It could be something that, you really should not be pressing towards, but you just have this desire, this uncontrollable desire to want to get that. Well, let me tell you something. That will keep you and stop you from doing the word, and it will cause you to be self-deceived. Unforgiveness and selfishness are examples of the lust of our flesh. In other words, I like the feeling of being mad at you, so I'm not going to forgive you. Or I like the feeling of everything being about me, and so I'm going to make everything about me. That's selfish. And so unforgiveness and selfishness are examples of lust of the flesh that if you want to hold on to those things, it will keep you from not only hearing the word, but definitely keep you from being a doer of the word. Here's the second reason that people are not doers of the word, and that is this. We fear what others will think about us. People are afraid of what people will think about them if I'm a doer of the word. Now, I'm going to say something to you. The Lord is going to bring revelation into your life that it goes contrary to the flow of this world. And there are going to be some things that the Lord is going to ask you to do and instruct you to do by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that are going to seem different and extraordinary to people who don't understand those things. You know, it doesn't make sense when you are doing everything you can to survive and the Word teaches us to become a tither and you make the decision to obey that and be a doer of it. To the world, that's not going to make sense. To other people, that's not going to make sense. And so, you know, a lot of times because I'm afraid of what they will think about me, I'm afraid of what they will say about me if I obey and do the word. Now, let me tell you something. People are going to talk about you anyway. People are going to think whatever they want to think. So you just need to get that out of your mind. Proverbs tells us that when we're afraid of people, it puts us in bondage, but there's freedom with God and what God wants us to do. And so you cannot be afraid of what others are going to think about you and let that keep you from being obedient and doing the word of God. Now here's the third one, and this is a big one for all of us. I think we're all probably susceptible to fall into this trap, and that is this: simple procrastination. Just putting it off until tomorrow. You know, that's a good thing, Lord. That's good that I need to do that. You know, Lord, I see where I need to walk in love and I need to walk in forgiveness. Lord, I'm going to do that tomorrow. You know, when I'm going to do that tomorrow. No, why not do it right now? Make the decision right now that I'm going to obey the word of God and I'm going to do what it says. You know, if you need to forgive somebody, don't put it off till tomorrow. Forgive them now. If you need to adjust your lifestyle to the Word of God and incorporate principles from God's Word into your life, don't put it off till tomorrow. Do it today. You know, don't be like Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, you know, and just have that attitude. Oh, well, tomorrow is another day. No, do it today. Let it happen today. Don't fall into the trap of procrastination. See, the reason that we do procrastinate is because when we don't do the word, we feel guilty. And so when we feel guilty, and part of that's because we're not being obedient. And so what we do to kind of put a salve on that guilt is we say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Don't be that way. Make a decision and do it today. Now, the fourth way that we deceive ourselves and not do the word of God is not keeping before us what we see in the word. And I mean, not with these eyes per se, but what we see spiritually in the word of God. Listen to James chapter 1 and verses 23 through 25. James 1:23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So let's back up and let's break this down. He says in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. You know, back in the day when my hair was longer, I used to get what everybody calls bedhead. And, you know, I could roll out of bed, go look in the mirror. And when my hair was longer, man, it'd be going everywhere. And, you know, part of it would be pointed out this way and part of it would be flat and all of that. And I could look at that in the mirror and then turn around, walk out of the bathroom, go and get dressed and be doing everything else. And in a span of a period of time, forget what my hair looked like. And if I don't think about it, I could walk right out the door and my hair be a mess and I am not aware of it. Why? Because I forgot what I look like in the mirror. And what Jesus said, or James rather, by the Holy Spirit, said that when we hear the Word of God becomes that mirror to us to point out and to bring light in areas of our lives that need to be fixed and adjusted. You know, all I needed to do was wet my hair a little bit and I could redo it or take a shower, wash it, whatever I needed to do. But what looking in that mirror does is expose and reveal to me what needs to be changed. And when I don't do anything about it at that moment and I forget what I look like, then I'm a mess. And so what James goes on to tell us, he says, but when he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, so that mirror of the Word of God is designed to free you, not put you in bondage. So when you see those things that need to be adjusted and corrected in your life, and God is pointing those things out to you, it's not to put you in bondage, it's to set you free. That's what the perfect law of liberty is all about. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What work? The work to make the adjustment. This one will be blessed in what he does. See, when I look in that mirror and I see my hair is a mess and I take the time to do and obey what I saw in the mirror, and I do what I need to do. Now, you know, granted right now, this time in my life, it's not a big deal. Fixing my hair is really not a big challenge these days. But anyway, when I look into that and I see my hair is a mess and I take the time to fix it, I can go out into the day and know that I look good, I look okay. Nobody's gonna be distracted by my hair. Nobody's gonna make fun of me. It's not gonna cause me a bunch of problems. And you know what? Doing what the mirror of God's word says and making those adjustments will cause you, the old King James says, it will cause you to be blessed in every way, in all of your deeds. Now, I don't know about you, but I need the blessing of God in everything that I do. So I need to be a doer of the word. So how do I become a doer of the word? Well, number one, make a simple decision. Just a simple decision that you want to be a doer of the word. You know, just it doesn't take 40 days of fasting and thunder and lightning and all of that type of thing. It just takes a simple decision. Heavenly Father, I realize, sir, that I have not been a doer of the word. I ask you to forgive me right now in Jesus' name. And I make the decision that I am going to do what the word of God says. When you bring it to my attention, Lord, and it becomes light and revelation to me, it's on then. I'm going to do what you told me to do. And it's simply a decision. Somebody says, well, what happens if you mess up? Well, okay, just come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize I didn't do the word in this area, so forgive me. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. And that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. So just say, repent, ask for forgiveness, and say, okay, Lord, in that area, from now on, I'm going to do what you told me to do. So just simply make a decision to do what the Word says. Now, let me show you something in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and this will take us to number 2. How do I become a doer of the Word? Number 1, make a simple decision. Number 2 is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 in the first part of that verse. For the Word of God is living and powerful. Now, I want to say something to you. A lot of times, and this is okay, this is right, but we focus on the power of God's Word to change our circumstances and situation in life. In other words, there is healing power in the Word of God. That if I need healing in my body, there is a portion, or there is a part of the Word of God that contains healing power. So there's healing available to me in the Word of God. You know, there is blessing found for me. Blessing is a supernatural empowerment to do something that I would not be able to do in and of myself. There's blessing, power in the Word of God to produce that blessing. Well, yeah, all of those things are true and good, but there's another part of the power of the Word of God, and that is this. There is power contained in the Word of God to enable you to do what the Word says. So if there is something that God wants us to do, let me give you an example. John 13, verse 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. And so Jesus would be unjust in giving a commandment to us like that if he did not give us the wherewithal to be able to walk out and obey that commandment. Well, how does he do that? Well, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So you have the love of God on the inside of you, so you possess whatever it takes and whatever is needed in order to obey the commandment that Jesus gave us. And so my point is this, and this is number 2. There is a principle in the Word of God that is this: the power of the Word of God is available to help you do it. Let me say that again. The power of the Word of God is available to help you obey and do it. You're not left to your own devices to try and figure out how I'm going to get the gumption to do the Word of God. No, you have the power and the ability already on the inside of you. That number 1, make the simple decision. So how do I become a doer of the Word? Make a decision. Number 2, realize that in the Word that gives you instructions, that perfect law of liberty, when you look in the mirror and you see what needs to be changed, understand that there is power in that Word to produce the change that you need to make. And so make yourself available to that. Number 3 is you're going to have to believe that. Believe that the power to do the Word is present. Even when you don't feel like it, even when it looks like everything, it would be better to make another decision and do something else. No, understand that the power is present. I believe that God has empowered me to walk in love. I can walk in forgiveness. I can walk in love. I don't hate anybody. I love people with the love of God. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Do I feel like loving everybody? No, I don't feel like loving everybody, but my feelings don't really matter. I believe what God's Word says. I make the decision to obey and do it, and I believe the power is present there for me to be able to carry it out. Now, here's number 4, and I want to read you a scripture first that will show you what it is. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord is giving Joshua instructions. He's just become the brand new leader of the children of Israel. And so God is ministering to him and telling him some things that he needs to do. And in Joshua 1:8, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. It says this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe." How do you observe something? You see it. You look at it. and do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So let's look at this. There's a couple of parts that we have to play in this. Number one, we have to keep the word in our mouth. He said, don't let it depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it. Think about it, that you can see yourself. See it in the mirror. See it, not literal mirror, but you know what I'm saying. See yourself doing the word. And he says that when it doesn't depart out of your mouth and you meditate on it day and night and you observe to do all that is written in it, then, hallelujah, then you shall make your way prosperous and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So the fourth key in becoming a doer of the word and avoiding self-deception is this: keep the word before you, in your eyes, in your mind, and in your mouth. Keep it before you. Keep it before you. Keep it in front of you. Keep looking at it. Keep saying it. Keep it in front of you. Keep looking at it. Keep saying it. And when you think you've done it enough, keep looking at it some more. Keep thinking about it and keep saying it. And when you do that, you will observe to do all that is written in it. And then when that happens, listen to what he said. God won't make your way. I mean, he helps you, but it says you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success and deal wisely in the affairs of life. Man, I don't know about you, but I need some of that in my life. So I'm going to keep the word in front of me. I'm going to keep it in my mouth and I'm going to keep it in my mind and I'm going to observe it and look at it and meditate on it and talk about it until it is so ingrained in my life that doing it is automatic. Doing it just happens because it is what I keep in front of me, what I talk about, and what I think about. And man, when you do that, you watch out, because then you're going to see some good success coming your way, and you're going to be dealing wisely in the affairs of life. Amen. Well, let's avoid self-deception. Let's don't let any man deceive us, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, particularly in the day and the time that we're living in. Let's don't let any man deceive us, but especially let's not deceive ourselves, but let's get rid of pride. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord, and then let's make up our minds. I'm going to be a doer of the word, and I'm not going to deceive myself by hearing the word and not doing it in my life, in Jesus' name. Do you receive this today? I know that you do. Let me pray and we'll close the message. Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Your word is a mirror. And I thank you, Father, that when we look in it and we see those adjustments that need to be made, they're adjustments for freedom, adjustments for liberty. And so, Father, you're desiring to bring us to a place of maximum results, optimum performance, so that we can adjust and keep tweaking and adjusting and tweaking, so you are able to move in our lives and to bless everything we do. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that the seed of your word has fallen upon the hearts of the people of Spring Hill Church, our friends and family that are joining us today. And Father, I thank you that that seed will grow up and it will produce a harvest. And Father, we thank you for it. We believe you for it, and we love you with all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, if you're watching this service today and you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to invite you to do that today. It's really very simple. It's not hard at all. Jesus did the hard work for us. He died on a cross for you and for me. He shed his blood to purchase our forgiveness and our salvation. And so I want to invite you to open your heart today to receive the free gift of God's mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness. Would you do that today? Just pray this simple prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I need a Savior, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe with all my heart that he was buried. But I also believe that he was raised from the dead, and he is alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. Forgive me of my sins and give me a brand new future. Now fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I have a brand new beginning, and I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.